And welcome to another edition of the Kenai Conversation. This is, of course, KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna. I'm your host, Shaylin Cochran, and we are continuing our election season coverage this morning. Taking a look at one of the assembly races in District 5. That's for the Sterling and Funny River areas. And we've got just one of the candidates in the studio this morning. Leslie Morton is with us. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being in. And I wanted to point out before we get too far into the program that we did extend an invitation to the other person in this race, Norm Blakely. He declined our invitation to come on this morning, had some other things going on today. But we will take questions, of course, this morning. And we've got a lot to talk about with Leslie Morton, of course, running for Assembly District 5. If you have a question, would like to get in on the conversation, of course, we'd love to hear from you as well. 690-1687 is the number. Again, 690-1687. Or drop us a line on Facebook. We'll be checking that out throughout the program as well. And just to get started, Leslie, this morning, I guess I'll open it up to you and give you a chance to sort of introduce yourself and let us know a little bit about what you're about and why you decided to run for Assembly.
Good morning. Thanks. I decided to run for Assembly. I felt like I wasn't seeing things on the Assembly from the Assembly members that I wanted. I didn't feel like I was very well represented. And I looked around. I was like, why isn't somebody doing something? And I thought, well, I guess that's me. I'm going to be the one that's going to do something because I have a little bit of time now. I also want more balance on the Assembly. The Assembly only has two women. Only one is going to still be there unless I get elected. So I felt like we needed more women. We think a little differently. Even when we have the same values, we think a little differently. And it's only through getting people with different backgrounds, different professional experiences, different genders, different ages on the Assembly that we're going to get a healthy dialogue and a lot of conversation going and come up with the creative solutions our borough needs right now.
So in talking about not seeing what you wanted out of the Assembly, are there specific examples? Are there areas of focus that you think that the Assembly should be focusing on a little bit more? What would those things be?
Well, education is really important to me. Small businesses is important to me. Agriculture is important to me. I wasn't hearing anything about agriculture from the Assembly. Education seemed to get, it was more of put off to the side, like, well, we have to fund it, we don't have a choice, as opposed to somebody, people being really enthusiastic about it. So I wanted to see more of that.
More of those things on the Assembly as well. And I wanted to go into your candidate statement, of course, is provided on the borough website, and I would encourage everyone to check that out. And of course, Mr. Blakely's candidate statement is on there as well. If you go to the Kenai Peninsula Borough website, you can see those. But digging into that, of course, we get to know a little bit about your background and what you bring to the table in terms of different experience. And I'd like for you to talk a little bit about that as well. You've served in the Navy on the civilian side as a natural resources manager. Talk a little bit about that experience and how that might contribute to things on the Assembly.
Thank you. I served for the Natural Resources Manager for the Navy in the Western Pacific, Kamenev Marianas, if anybody was ever stationed out towards Guam or Hawaii. So that job was mostly about listening to people and finding the places where there was overlap and bringing them together. For example, I helped Navy SEALs with planning some of their military training exercises. My goal as the Natural Resources Manager was to protect the natural resource, but I also wanted to balance it with the needs of the Navy. What did they need? Well, after talking to the Navy SEALs, we came to the conclusion that they benefited from having a nearly pristine jungle to train in. They didn't want their training to have trails or, you know, signposts basically telling them where to go. They needed it to be very realistic, as if they were really in Southeast Asia. So I helped them locate caves that they could use and work on ways that they could move, you know, go through the jungle without creating trails, giving them lots of different alternative paths to take, things like that. So it turned out to be a really true win-win situation for both the natural resources and the military training exercise. And I did that in several other ways too, like with the LCACs coming across the coral reefs, making sure that they came across at the higher tides, trying to help them plan to do that so the coral reefs weren't destroyed. A lot of the folks in the Navy are divers. They wanted those reefs to stay healthy. They just hadn't thought about it all the way through. And when we started talking, we came out with a lot of fantastic solutions.
And you mentioned listening being a kind of a key to that position. And I'm curious, you know, the District 5 that you're running to represent on the Borough Assembly is a very widely spread out district. And I'm curious, as you've been through the campaign season a little bit and had a chance to, I'm sure, go door to door and meet folks and see folks at the store and this and that, maybe you could talk a little bit about those differences. Because on the surface, of course, on the map, those two areas, Funny River and Sterling, are quite separated. But my guess is that in broader terms, the concerns and the things that the residents in those areas are thinking about and concerned about heading into an election season are probably largely the same. Or maybe that's not true. What have you learned in those terms?
There is a lot of overlap between the areas. One of my favorite things about campaigning has been getting out and listening to people, really hearing them and what they say. That was one of my complaints with other boroughs, assembly members sometimes, is they didn't really listen to their constituency and listen to their people. So that's what I've been trying to do. Yes, there's a lot of overlap. Everyone seems to be pretty concerned about the budget and how we're going to manage that. Different pockets have different concerns, different emphases. My neighborhood is very concerned about annexation because I live on the border of where annexation for the city of Soldotna is being seriously considered. Funny River has a lot of concerns with their central emergency services. And Sterling has a lot of agriculture, and they're pretty spread out. So there's some different issues there too.
Talk a little bit about, I know the emergency services issue in Funny River has been something that's been talked about for a long time. You know, Funny River's way down on a narrow, winding road. It can be kind of treacherous in the winter, and more folks are moving out there all the time. What are those concerns, and what do you think is a proper role for the assembly in addressing those concerns?
Funny River is a great example of direct cuts. I mean, we had the assembly felt that it needed to make budget cuts across the board. Well, when they did, Central Emergency Services had to make adjustments in how they served their community. And unfortunately, Funny River was one of the places that got hit by that. So less budget meant slightly less services. So they pulled the ambulance and the fire truck, is my understanding, out of Funny River because they couldn't afford to staff it properly. So there are still some volunteers, but it's not the same as having paid firefighters and paid emergency services folks out there, ambulance drivers. So it is a concern to them. I mean, they thought they were going to be getting that service and it was going to be staying with them, but then it was there and now it's been removed. Actually, tomorrow night, I'm going to be meeting with the Central Emergency Services Board, and I'm going to learn a lot more about that and maybe some ways that we can bring that back to the folks out there.
Yeah, it's interesting to see how some of those things end up manifesting themselves. You know, we hear at meetings that and a lot of the discussions that we've had here at KDLL over the past few weeks throughout election season has been a lot about addressing the budget. And I would note that you do have a copy of the budget with you. It is quite thick. And what we hear a lot is that we have not necessarily a revenue problem, that we need to be bringing more money in, but what we're hearing from I would say a majority of the candidates is that we have a spending problem, that we need to find more efficiencies. But I'm curious, just in broad terms, what you feel about that when you look at an issue like the Funny River emergency services, and you see those kinds of effects. Is that how do you fall on that debate? Is it more of a cost problem? Is it more of a revenue problem?
It's both, but like I said, we can cut, but our budget our budget is a reflection of our community values. So if you don't value certain areas, then those are the first ones you're going to go and cut, or you can do an all the way across the board cut. And when you cut everybody across the board, you end up with places like Funny River where hard choices had to be made. I know we're going to talk at some point about the different ballot initiatives, but I'm optimistic that the ballot initiative raising the sales tax between 500 and to 1,000 would be very helpful for us. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, I'm sure, that concerns them. It would be an additional amount out of their pocket. I think I've heard it's going to be $30 and it's still less than trying to drive to Anchorage to buy your refrigerator. And if I'm going to buy a refrigerator or a washing machine or a new car, I'm going to buy the one that I feel is the one I need. So that extra $30 probably for me personally isn't going to make a huge difference. I realize for some people it will, but it's still less than trying to drive to Anchorage and haul that refrigerator back from Anchorage. And if you care about your neighbors, like your neighbors in Funny River, you don't want to see them without ambulance service. You don't want to see kids going hungry at lunch. You know, you want to see the services that are that make our community amazing stay there, mm-hmm. Without having to do severe cuts to everything. It doesn't mean there isn't some fat some places we might be able to trim up, but I've been studying that 413-page budget, and it's a lot leaner than I thought it was.
Well, I'd love to hear what your thoughts are going into that, because I know, you know, I get the opportunity, every year when the budget comes out to take a good hard look at it and see where dollars are going and ask folks about different spending things. But what did you think about it? And you said that it was a bit leaner than you had expected. I guess what were some of your expectations going to looking at that? And were you hoping that there would be like some really easy things that would just jump out and say, well, that one's easy, we can get rid of that?
I did. I was hoping there'd be some easy ones, and there's not. For example, the size of the borough government has not changed in over 20 years. So it's not that the size of the population of the peninsula has definitely grown in the last 20 years, but the number of people serving us has not. And so that's, you know, you can combine up a few more, departments maybe, but a lot of that's already been done. So it's just not simple to find those places. And that's one of the things I want to go to my community. That's why I like listening. And I want to go back out and I want to hear people's values. I know my values. I know what's important to me in the budget. But I want to hear from the people in my community as to where they feel are areas that could be cut, or whether they feel it would be better to try to raise more revenue and cover those services that we've grown accustomed to having, like the landfill being open 6 days a week or that kind of thing.
Yeah. We see a lot of those examples. And Funny River, the landfill, all these examples of here's a little bit of trimming we can do. And then it's where what I found throughout this election season, you know, really the rubber is meeting the road at, it seems like we're at that point where, okay, we can make more cuts, sure, but what are we prepared now to do without? It seems to be the question. And it's for folks on the assembly and in the administration to dig into the budget and try to find out if it's able to be done another way. But it seems like that's kind of where we're at, is if we want to cut more, what are we going to do without?
Definitely.
Leslie Morton is our guest this morning on the Kenai Conversation. She's running for the Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly in District 5, representing Sterling and Funny River. We did invite the other fellow in that race, Norm Blakely. He declined our invitation, however. If you would like to get in on the conversation, 690-1687 is the number. Again, 690-1687, or you can drop us a line on Facebook. We'll be checking that out throughout the program as well. And looking at, again, going back to the statements that you submitted for the borough and getting your campaign sort of off the ground, you mentioned a few things, consideration of new ordinances, budget allocations, comprehensive land planning. I want to talk about that because the borough is right now in the process of updating its comprehensive plan. They've got a survey online. I would encourage people to go to kpbcompplan.com and take that survey as a means of kind of just giving the borough some feedback about what your thoughts and feelings are on things. And so let's maybe just start there. You mentioned specifically comprehensive land use. And so what are your thoughts on comprehensive land use? Some folks in the borough see words like that, planning, zoning, that kind of stuff, and it's kind of a scary thing. It's like not why we live here. But what's your vision of a comprehensive plan? What does that look like? What's its purpose?
Okay, first off, when I speak of comprehensive land planning, I want the community, it's a coming up from the bottom. It's a bottom-up thought process, sort of like, people in a neighborhood will decide that they do or don't want certain things in their neighborhood, and they'll band together and create that and let that happen. Some neighborhoods have covenants. Otherwise, others, it's local area zoning or nothing. If you don't want anything in your neighborhood, that's fine. So, it's going back to my constituents and finding out what they want. I encourage everybody, though, to participate in the process and don't just let it happen to your neighborhood, because you could end up with something there that you didn't want if you aren't proactive. My mom had a taking on her land, so I'm very sensitive to takings. My mom was in her 80s. It was her livelihood. It was how she was paying for her, life and her retirement time, and it was taken by the city. She fought it for several years and lost, so I am sensitive to that. It's not like I want to put a lot of regulations on top of people, but I do recognize that if you're not proactive, you will end up having something happen in your neighborhood that you may not want there.
And that's something that we do see some of, and I guess I'll be curious about your thoughts on this. You know, things like the oil and gas industry, which enjoys widespread support sort of in principle here on the Kenai Peninsula, and it tends to be, and there are other things like this too that are, this is all well and good until it sort of comes to my backyard. And so is a comprehensive land use plan an opportunity to sort of prevent those things? Is there a role on the assembly in preventing those sorts of things? Or how does that process work that you can sort of find that balance of preserving what folks expect to be able to do on their land? And then, you know, these industries that provide jobs, that provide all the things that we've come to sort of depend on the peninsula.
It's a really good point. We do. We do have a tendency to be not in my backyard. I mean, we all do. I do. Everyone does. It's not just them.
Right. Oh, I'm the same way. Right.
Which is why, again, I encourage everyone to participate in the process of the borough's land management, the comprehensive plan. It's a great opportunity to get your priorities and your values in there. And I think that the role of the assembly will be to support what comes through on that plan in that planning process.
Is there, and so the planning process is one means, so that, but is that sort of kind of what the assembly's role is? And I don't want to say preventing these things because it's development and it's sort of, you know, it's going to happen, but, you've seen in the past specific complaints about, you know, this person's backyard. And I guess do you see there being a role for the assembly, or is the assembly's role in preserving those things sort of the mechanism for that is through a comprehensive plan?
I think the mechanism is more through the comprehensive plan and through things like changing the regulations with the planning commission. I don't think that I don't really want to see a top-down approach completely on that one. Because different neighborhoods do have different needs and different desires. And so if you put something blanket across the whole peninsula, I don't know. That's a tough one.
are there things, as you've been speaking with folks in District 5, are there things that they are worried about? I'm referencing this question, you know, to go back a few years to, you know, the Anadromous Streams Ordinance, which really charged a lot of folks up. And I don't know if you could say that the dust has settled. That would be an interesting one for me to follow up on the news side of things. But are you seeing that folks are worried about specific things in your district that sort of pertain to this thing?
There's been a little bit of concern about gravel pits out in Sterling, and I know that the Planning Commission is sort of addressing that by having some changes in the regulations. They're trying to tighten up a little bit on the regulations for that, but right now the way it sits, if somebody applies for it and they meet the minimum requirements, they're given the permit. And the same thing is true with the ordinance the habitat ordinance. There's been a really big drop off in the number of permits requested because after they had the working group, they came up with a lot of solutions about what was and wasn't okay on your own land. There was a huge drop off. Very few people have been applying for permits. And as far as I can tell, they've been getting them when they have applied.
Yeah, it's a process that I think was they were pretty well prepared for sort of at the onset of that, and it was, I know it was pretty popular sort of right at the beginning when that ordinance was initially passed. And speaking about ordinances, you talk in your candidate statement about the consideration of new ordinances, and I'm curious what you mean about that. Do you have thoughts on how the assembly considers new ordinances? Is there anything you'd like to see changed in that process?
Well, I think it's important that the assembly continue to listen when people come in and speak. But we also have to go out and reach out to people, because usually when people come in and speak, it's all one-sided. You don't get to hear the other side of it. It tends to be just the one. So I think the onus is on us to make sure we go out and hear other people too, not just the folks that come to us, but hear both sides of it. And we need to be careful when we put ordinances into place to make sure that they're actually enforceable and not going to cost a lot for the borough, and that they're not going to put an uncomfortable burden on the people that are going to be affected by the ordinances.
You know, and again, to go back to the Anadromous Streams Ordinance from a few years ago, that was largely an argument that we heard sort of against passing that ordinance. And is that something you feel sort of came to fruition and was justified and is a reason to look out for those sorts of things now?
My understanding, and from what I've seen by going to the Planning Commission meetings, it hasn't turned out to be the big negative impact on people's lands that they thought it was going to be. Most people have found that it's been pretty easy to work with, actually. You know, there's grant money available to even help you if you want to put in a dock or something like that on your property. So I think it's turned out to work out a lot better than people expected it to.
Yeah, that was a very interesting process to see kind of go through a few years ago. Leslie Morton, our guest this morning on the Kenai Conversation. If you would like to get in on the conversation, 690-1687 is the number. Again, 690-1687. Or you can drop us a line on Facebook. We're checking that out throughout the program as well. I wanted to move on to the ballot propositions, of course, couple of pretty big decisions that voters will be faced with on the ballot this fall, in addition to electing assembly candidates, mayor candidates, and all those sorts of things. And I guess we'll start with what we've kind of touched on already, is that ballot proposition number 2, which is the sales tax ballot. But you've spoken to it a little bit, and sounds like you're in favor of that and hopeful that it will pass.
I am hopeful it'll pass. If it doesn't, we'll have to find other ways to cut the budget in places. But it's not like that's a tax and spend. Our budget is currently in a deficit. So it's not like, oh, well, they're going to create more, you know, more revenue, so now we can go off and spend more money. Really, we're just trying to cover the gap so that we're not digging into savings or running in a deficit.
Because we hear that a lot, you know, this idea that that we would like to see government run more like a business. And I have to imagine that I'm not a business owner, of course, but I have to imagine for a business owner, if you're dipping into savings to cover your sort of everyday expenses, that you would want to do something, raise prices, find new customers, something, so that you're not stealing away your nest egg just to cover payroll every week.
That's right. I grew up in a small business family, although I don't currently own a business. That's the family my dad did. And that's what I did every day after school, was go out and work for my dad and his business, because it was family and that's what you did. And yes, I mean, he did not want to run into a deficit. He had a small pot of money that he kept in case of a crisis or an emergency. He had kind of like a deli. So if the coal cases broke down, he needed to be able to replace them immediately or he was going to lose product.
Right.
And so, yeah, you don't want to cut into that little crisis package of yours. So it was very important for him to find value added or to find ways to bring in more income instead of digging into that.
And in government and here on the Kenai, that sounds like maybe more tourists spending money in the summer or potentially different tax rates and sales tax being one of those. The other ballot proposition that's getting a lot of attention, of course, is ballot proposition number 1. And that's the marijuana question. Do we want the cannabis industry to remain in the borough, outside the borough cities, or are we going to do away with that? And I have to imagine there are probably some disparate opinions about that amongst your constituency between Funny River and Sterling. I know that there are some shops, or at least one shop sort of in Sterling proper, but what have you heard about that debate and where do you fall on it?
The cannabis debate, initially, I was going to I'm not going to take an opinion on this. I'm going to let the will of the people rule. But the more I learned about it, the more I realized that I'm actually in favor of keeping cannabis legal. It's bringing in revenue. A lot of people are employed in it. And I've heard stories from folks about using it that make me believe that there's a need for it in our community. A friend of mine's, her daughter lives in chronic pain, and the choice is between opioids or CBD oils. And to me, that seems like an easy choice. I wouldn't want to be on opioids if I didn't need to be. I mean, if I have a choice, I'm probably going to try to take it. I met a gentleman who suffers from PTSD, and he was talking to me about how he uses it and how it benefits him. And I feel like there's just a lot of medicinal uses in our community, and a lot of people are benefiting from it, whether it's economically or emotionally, or it's been more of a positive, I feel. And I've heard prohibition doesn't work. That's what one of the arguments I hear. And I tend to think I don't want to drive it back underground. I mean, these people are using it. They're going to continue to use it. Let's have it regulated. Let's have it tested. Let's know what the different levels are, as opposed to putting it back underground in the black market situation.
And make some money, too, while you're at it.
Yeah,
that seems to be something that often, I don't want to say gets lost in the debate, but it certainly never seems to be the headline. And certainly I don't think anyone's saying that income from this industry is going to be so big that it's going to cure all of our financial ills. Yeah. But in a time when we are looking for new revenues, it's new revenue. You mentioned having some concerns. I'm curious about what some of your concerns were at the beginning. You talked about, you know, kind of shifting your point of view on it a little bit. What were some of your hesitations or concerns as this sort of debate has formed?
Well, I don't use cannabis products, and I hope that I'm not in a situation anytime soon where I'll need them for medical reasons. And so I guess I just had a prejudice that, you know, oh, it's not necessary. We don't need to worry about it. And now that I've learned more about it, I feel like it's something I need to support.
That is Leslie Morton. She's running for Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly in District 5, representing the Sterling and Funny River area. The other candidate in that race, Norm Blakely, invited on the program this morning. He declined that invitation. If you want to get in on the conversation, of course, we would love to hear from you as well. 690-1687 is the number. Again, 690-1687, or check us out on Facebook, KDLL 91.9 FM. You mentioned something kind of unique to the Sterling area is more and more agriculture. And as we, we talk a lot about what are some new industries, how can we be less reliant on oil and gas and fishing, and how can we find some things that have a bit more of a level line that aren't so up and down as some of the other industries are. I guess I'll talk a little bit about generally what you would like to see agriculture play a role in the Kenai Peninsula and specifically in your district.
Agriculture is one of the fastest growing sectors of our economy here on the peninsula, and I think we need to encourage that in any way we can. There's whether it's peonies or the rhodiola, which are long-term crops that people grow, or even the vegetables. If anybody attended any of the farmers markets this summer, they know how amazing it was. The broccoli grown here just tastes way better than broccoli grown anywhere else. It's great. And then we have more high tunnels. My understanding is we have more high tunnels per capita than anywhere else in the U.S. So, you know, agriculture is here and it's growing and it's great. Everything from hay to barley to beets, you know, potatoes, a lot of that. It's cash crops. And people, I talked to one farmer and he was headed up to the farmer's market in Anchorage and he was anticipating being able to make as much as $10,000 over the weekend in Anchorage with his crops. That's fantastic. And agriculture is culturally fits right in with our lifestyle here. So I definitely want to support agriculture. I'd like to see the borough have better policies towards agriculture, for things like encouraging our school district or our restaurants to purchase more locally. I realize that the school district can't buy food year round from our local farmers, but I'd like to see a little more hand in hand work on that to bring those together.
Yeah, I wanted to ask a little bit about that, and do you see there being some sort of conflicts as the peninsula continues to grow, more people move here, and some of these industries grow up side by side? Do you see there being conflicts? That's a pretty significant change when you think about sort of the history of the modern economy, sort of the Kenai Peninsula, and seeing any sort of a shift toward agriculture would be a pretty big shift away from what we're so familiar with. Do you see that being an issue, there being conflicts there that would have to be sort of debated and resolved at the assembly level?
Not a lot, actually, because I think most people don't mind living next door to somebody who's growing some delicious vegetables or has a nice, you know, large field that next door. But if I'm wrong, then I apologize too. But no, I think agriculture fits in nicely with our lifestyle here. People want to have land around them. Most people don't want to be crowded up on each other. There's a lot of land that's really great for growing things here, but there's some land that's not. So let's build the houses in the areas that don't have as great a soil for agriculture, and leave the farms to be farms.
Yes, Leslie Morton again joining us this morning on the Kenai Conversation. And as we get to the bottom of the hour, we're going to take a little break and get a coffee refill and kind of recharge the batteries a little bit. Of course, if you want to hop in on the conversation in the second half of the program, we would love to hear from you as well. 690-1687 is the number. Again, 690-1687. We're going to take a quick break. Stay with us. And welcome back to the Kenai Conversation here on KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna. Our guest this morning is Leslie Morton. She is running for Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly in District 5 to represent Sterling and Funny River. We invited the other candidate in the race, Norm Blakely, as well. He declined that invitation. And as we get into the second half of the program, got a call coming in. We're going to go to the phones now. Good morning. Welcome to the conversation. Who's this?
Good morning. This is Lorraine.
Good morning, Lorraine.
I have a question. I've heard Leslie talk about values, and I'd like her to elaborate on what that means in terms of being on the borough assembly. What are her core values? How will that influence her introduction or voting on ordinances?
All right. And thank you, Lorraine, for that question. And a pretty big question there, Leslie. Talk a little bit about sort of your values. Of course, you know, sitting on the peninsula, it's sort of nonpartisan. But of course, we all have different sort of philosophies about where the emphasis should be and how we manage money and those sorts of things. What are the values that that you would bring to the Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly?
My values include strong family, hard work, honesty, empathy, commitment to our future, and a real respect for our community here. Our community is amazing. It's one of the my first introduction to Alaska. I'm going to tell you how to build a clock instead of telling you what time it is. I'm sorry. my first introduction to Alaska was way back when I worked for Senate Appropriations Interior Subcommittee, and Senator Stevens was the chair at the time. And I had the opportunity to travel all over Alaska, everywhere from the North Slope down to Ketchikan and everything in between. And my husband and I, we decided we wanted to live here, so we chose to raise our family here on the Kenai Peninsula. So my values that come into play on that are, again, is looking at everything and trying to bring all of that information together. The peninsula is amazing. It supports people. I mean, like when I was sick, I had to have surgery about 6 years ago. Afterwards, I was blown away by the outpouring of support from people in my community, whether they dropped off food, gave me rides places, helped with childcare. I want to keep those kinds of values and that working together feeling, that sort of small town, even as we grow, feeling to our community. And that's what's important to me.
And how do you think that those things can be sort of expressed on a body like the assembly? How does that translate? You mentioned things like trying to reach out more to constituents, but are there other things or other concrete ways that you can kind of bring those to the table?
That's a tough question. It depends on the ordinance or the rule that's coming forward or whether you're discussing the budget. It depends. But I think having empathy in the way we craft our legislation is really important. We need to consider everyone and not just our own point of view.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned your experience working under Senator Ted Stevens on that committee, and I'm curious a little bit about that experience and what that, how that translates to the assembly and what that kind of brings to local politics here on the Kenai.
Well, that was looking at the federal budget, which was huge.
Quite a bit thicker even than our borough budget.
And maybe they seem a little less concerned about running in a deficit. But
I hear that, yes. I've heard things.
But it was a great introduction to Alaska and the way people in Alaska think, and made me realize that this is where we wanted to be. Senator Stevens, you know, whether you love him or you hate him, he was a powerful person in Washington, and he did a lot for our state with learning to manipulate the budget. And I think I learned a lot about how the budget works and how priorities are formed on the budget from that, and how to read a budget. Like I said, I've been looking through this 400-page budget that we have here. A lot of people talk about the budget, but they haven't actually sat down and read it or looked through it. They don't really know what it is to manage a budget of that size. I also had some experience with budgeting when I worked for the Navy. I had a $2.3 million annual budget with them. So making sure that I didn't overspend or underspend and came out just right on target every year with that was important too.
You mentioned in your work at the federal level, learning a little bit about how Alaskans think, and I feel like that maybe plays into the question we got from Lorraine just a moment ago about values. And what did you learn about how Alaskans think?
Well, I realized that we really are dependent on our natural resource extraction, but we also love our resources. And so finding that balance between the two so that we can be economically comfortable with our and have our resource extraction, but at the same time not lose this beautiful place that we live in. And so it's finding that balance between those two items.
Economically comfortable. That's an interesting phrase because this is what I hear a lot in just, you know, sort of spitballing conversations mm-hmm. about town is where we're at in this balance of sort of economically comfortable and the level of development we're at now. And does it need to be more? Do we want more stores? Do we want to, you know, it certainly can't be a situation where the folks who are here now and fortunate to be here now get to sort of slam the door on development. But I guess sort of in broad terms, looking out over the next 3 years and maybe even beyond that, what is kind of your vision for how the Kenai should develop and how you would like to see it develop? And that's in terms of, you know, population growth and the sorts of businesses we try to attract and that settle here, those sorts of things.
I'd like to see the businesses that are going to come here to be able to serve our people and address our middle-aged and younger people also. I think we need to make sure we keep good opportunities for them. Our aging population needs things like nurses' assistants and assisted living, so I'd like to see some businesses that address those needs. We also have some needs for rehab facilities, and it doesn't sound like an exciting, like the business necessarily you want, but it's a business we need, is to deal with rehab of folks and reentry into the community. So I'd like to see some businesses address those issues. And like I said, keeping our young people here, I think the ACS expansion is going to be helpful with that. It'll be helpful with cottage industries because people will be able to be more part of the global community while still being at home. And I think that's important also.
And talking about those sorts of things, I'm curious, we talked briefly kind of at the beginning about the education portion of the budget, and that's a very large portion of the budget. Again, sort of in broad terms, how do you feel about the borough's level of support for the schools, and is it the right approach? Is there more that can be done? Scale it back? How do you feel about those things?
I think it's really important that we support our education here, whether we're talking about vocational training or the KPC or high schools and elementary schools and middle schools. It's our future, and even if you don't have kids, I do have kids in the school system, so I'm personally vested in it. But even if you don't have kids in the school system, there's a really good reason to want it. And those are the folks that are going to be running those businesses in the future. Also, when young professionals look to move here, they want to make sure there's a good education system for their children and their family. So if you want to have good doctors here and you want to have good skilled nurses here, you need to make sure that our education system, or we need to make sure that our education system stays strong. There's projected to be over 100,000 teacher shortage, 100,000 teachers needed that aren't going to be there starting next year. That's nationwide, not just here.
Right.
But it means that we need to attract and retain our good quality teachers here. Our school district this year, the PEAKS testing came back, and we did better than the average for the state by 7% in language arts, and I think it was 5% in math, and even in science too a little bit. So I think our school system's doing a good job. It's striking a pretty good balance. It is expensive, but it's an investment that I think is well worth it when you consider what we're getting out of it at the end.
We hear a lot about the idea of the borough sort of investing in its own development. And what I'm getting at is things like the Kenai Peninsula Tourism and Marketing Council, the Economic Development District building where we're broadcasting from right now, and other things like that. And these are issues that come up every single budget cycle. And so I'll throw the question out, as I've asked every other candidate who has graced us. What do you think about these things? Are these appropriate things for the borough to be spending money on, especially, again, as we've talked about, in a time of sort of deficit spending? You mentioned trying to find easy things to cut out of the budget. For a lot of folks, these seem like pretty easy things to cut out of the budget. What are your thoughts?
I originally thought tourism and marketing was going to be one of those easy places, sure. And then I met with Summer from tourism and marketing, and she talked to me about how for every dollar put in to tourism and marketing, the borough gets $4 back out of that. So if that's really the case, it's very hard to justify cutting a budget that's actually producing a profit for the peninsula. We give them about $300,000, which is down from what we've given them in the past. Mm-hmm. And I think it's only about 25% of their overall budget. I'm not completely sure on that, but it's not a lot. And then if they're really generating $4 for every dollar invested, it's a tough one to want to cut.
Yeah, that's a pretty good return on investment. If there were other investment opportunities for the borough that came back 2-1, 3-1, 4-1, I'm sure that they would be quite popular.
And then for EDD, the Economic Development District, again, that was another one I thought, oh, yeah, okay, well, they just produced a bunch of statistics. And then I came up here and saw how many businesses use this facility. And I heard about some of the they're doing like to try to get the testing facility for cannabis here, to have one locally so that people who grow cannabis here on the peninsula won't have to truck it all the way to Anchorage to get it tested. So keeping that money and that resource right here on the peninsula makes sense to me if we can have a lab that does that sort of thing here.
So some worthwhile expenditures out of the budget for those things.
It is. And yeah. I'm not saying that there's not room to cut or maybe some ways to, tighten your belt on some of those, but they're not as easy as they sounded when I first started looking at it. I was like, oh, that's a lot harder than I thought.
Yeah. Another one that's along those same lines, and it's sort of gets lumped in with that group is carts. And that's a big topic. And as we talk about a couple of things, as we talk about, you know, more seniors living on the peninsula and staying here and trying to attract more young people, you know, young folks are looking for more more and easier transportation options. Older folks need those transportation options. Is there a role for the borough to try to provide those things? I mean, right now it's I think the borough contributes $25,000 a year to carts, I believe, or maybe they even zeroed it out this year. That's correct. Yeah. Is there a role for the borough in those things? I mean, public transportation is a huge expenditure. It's not a moneymaker, but is there a role for the borough considering the sort of place that we live? Is that appropriate? Is that something that you would like to see brought back, or are you all right with it having been zeroed out?
Okay, two parts to that. The first part is I used carts after I had surgery, and it's a little awkward to use it. It's not super easy, although it's gotten a little better with the online. You have to make your reservations, you know, on Friday if you want to get picked up on Monday morning. It's a little rough, but it's a necessary service. We need to have some form of public transportation, like you mentioned, for seniors, but also for people who are struggling, like homeless people. They can't afford to buy a car if they can't afford a home. So we do need it. I know the Kenaitse tribe is looking at trying to set up some sort of service between Nikiski all the way down to Homer. And I think that's fantastic. But how is that going to service Funny River or Sterling? That's part of it. So we have to figure out how to get feeder lines in or make taxis more affordable or something. So yes, I think there's a role for the borough government. I'm not sure it's going to be just in paying for it, though.
Right. You mentioned also homelessness has been an issue that has sort of emerged in this campaign season, especially for folks running at the borough level. And it is certainly an issue, and especially for kids in the school district. And again, just a kind of a broad question, is there a role for the assembly, for the borough, in providing some relief, be it in housing or different opportunities for the students who are in that transition program, those sorts of things?
There is a students in transition program, yes. And there's also a group called Reentry, which I've just learned a little bit about.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing exactly what I think is necessary, which is bringing the public and private sectors together to get this conversation going. Neither the borough is not going to solve it on its own, and the private sector is not going to be able to solve it on their own. It's going to take both sides to bring this problem up and solve it. Again, I'm not convinced that it's going to be just a financial outlay on the part of the borough. I think it's more of setting an example and prioritizing and showing what our values are towards these folks and getting programs, help private sector establish programs that will work for those people.
Leslie Morton, our guest this morning on the Kenai Conversation. If you would like to get in on the conversation, of course, we'd love to have you. 690-1687 is the number. Again, 690-1687, or you can drop us a line on Facebook. If that is your preferred means of communication, we'll take those questions from that platform as well. You know, and talking, Leslie, about sort of broader development, Sterling is, I've just driven through there a couple of times recently, and I hadn't really driven through there a lot this summer. And then just recently to pick up some firewood, I'd been back and forth, and I'm curious what, and Sterling, we'll throw this question down to Funny River. Of course, they're a lot different, but what do you see Sterling looking like, say, you know, 10, maybe 20 years down the road? Another kind of big question, but does it have the potential to grow in the ways that like a Kenai or Soldotna has, or would you like to see it kind of stay spread out and keep the character that it's developed to this point?
I'd like to see it stay sort of spread out and keep the character that it's developed. But do you realize there's more people that live in Sterling than live in Soldotna?
That's correct. And it's kind of a buried the lead kind of a fact that a lot of people live in Sterling proper. Sterling proper is very big, but
it does. It has a very large population base, and they don't have a lot of things like Fred Meyer's and big box stores out there. But, you know, I think that's part of the character of Sterling. I don't think we want to have big box stores right in the middle of Sterling. I think we want to maintain our school there and the community center and the senior center, you know, that are and make them more the heart of the community.
And sort of maintain.
Yes, and I'd like to see them maintain the character that's there. Again, I'm encouraging agriculture and small businesses to grow out in that area, but I don't want to see it become, you know, an urban type feel to Sterling now.
And Funny River, it feels like, you know, as we sit here now in 2017, it feels like that's couldn't ever be a possibility in Funny River. I don't know. Do you see that as a possibility down the road in Funny River like that? Are those sorts of things happening, or is there again enough of a sort of established character of that community and the folks who make up that community, that's sort of how it's going to be.
I think it's pretty much going to be the way it is. I think cottage industry is going to continue to take off out there, especially with the ACS expansion.
Right, yeah.
And it does have a strong senior population out there, and it has a little bit of agriculture and it has a lot of river access. So I think it's going to keep its character.
Again, Leslie Morton, our guest this morning on the Kenai Conversation, running for Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly in District Number 5. That represents the Sterling and Funny River areas. We also invited the other candidate in that race, Norm Blakely. He declined our invitation this morning. But that's all right. We've had a ton to talk about this morning. And I guess as we kind of close down the program a little bit, I just wanted to sort of leave it open to you a little bit. You know, for folks as we're getting kind of down to the home stretch, what is your message for? What do they need to know maybe that they haven't heard yet this morning?
My priorities in running are listening to people and bringing balance to the assembly. If you want somebody who's really going to listen to you, who's going to sit down and have that cup of tea or cup of coffee with you and have a real honest conversation, that's me. I really like listening to people and hearing things. And I really believe that that's the only way we're going to get the solutions that we need is by bringing the private and public sector together, by listening to everyone. You get a lot more creative solutions. You come up with things that you never even thought of before. Like I said, my experience with the Navy taught me that a lot of times there's common ground, you didn't even know it, or you'll come up with a whole new answer to a problem that you never even dreamt of, you know, just by brainstorming and not leaving anything off the table. So if you want somebody who's going to listen and who's going to put the thoughts of the people first, that's going to be me. And that's one thing. And then I also wanted to mention, I'm going to be at Funny River tonight at 6 o'clock at the community center. We're doing a candidate forum, the two of us, and then again on the 26th in Sterling at the Sterling Community Center. We'll be doing a candidates forum there too.
Very good. Other ways to get in touch and to listen, as you said. I'm curious, you know, as you mentioned that, do you feel like there is enough listening going on the assembly now? Is that sort of a deficiency, for lack of a better term?
I do think it's a deficiency. I feel like a lot of the people in the assembly think that they know the right way to handle it, and they're not listening to what their constituents and are asking of them, really.
Are there things you did mention this, I guess I'm looking for sort of concrete examples of things that you have expressed as being important to you that you felt maybe fell on deaf ears or ears that weren't quite as willing to listen. Are there specific examples for you personally?
There are. Some of them are pretty personal. I don't necessarily want to go into that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. But again, things like having education, and I hear a lot of them saying things like, well, we need to cut the education budget without really looking into it. And that was upsetting to me. Having worked in the schools, I can tell you there's not a lot. I mean, those teachers are there late at night. They're spending their own money on supplies for the classrooms. They're feeding kids on their own in the classrooms because those kids can't afford to bring snacks. So I have a real heart for that. And I felt like not having another woman or another person with family members who are actually part of the school system was a problem, that they weren't listening to us about that. Also, the cannabis issue, I think there's a lot more people out there that support it than don't. We'll see, I guess, at the polls, because it's going to be on there. But I feel like that was another issue that they weren't listening to us on. It was just... doing what they felt, you know, was their own personal agenda.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned, and I brought this up with Linda Hutchings as well when we had her on the program, is this idea in the mayor's office specifically. You go down the list of former Kenai Peninsula Borough mayors, and it's a list of all men. And I guess all right, this is a softball, but how important is it to have that different point of view on the assembly to bring the female perspective to it?
It's critical. It's one of the main reasons I'm running. And I can't put a specific point on it, like a complete topic, but I just know that we do think differently. Women think differently than men, even when we share the same values. We think differently. We problem solve differently. We listen differently. We act differently. And so you need that. If you don't have that diversity, you're not going to come up with solutions. You're not going to it removes an element of it. I'm sorry I can't come up with a specific hard example but I mean, husband and wives know that they approach the same problem differently. And so it's only through that teamwork that we're going to be successful.
Very good. And again, as we get to just the closing few minutes of the program here, I'll give you the same opportunity I give everyone else, is to just give us sort of you see someone in the supermarket, 2-minute sort of elevator speech as we get toward election day here.
Okay. I love the Kenai Peninsula. I've lived several other places. Can't believe it took me so long to get here. I've been here about almost 20 years now. But I want to represent our community. I want to listen to the people. I want to keep the culture of our community. I want to keep that hardworking, empathetic, pitching in to support. Whether even not in a non-crisis, people pitch in here. If they think you need something, they want to help you. And I want to get that keep that systemic in our community. And so that's why I'm running.
All right. Yeah. Very good. Leslie Morton, candidate for Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly and District.
Can I get my contact information?
Yes, please, please.
Sure. Okay, my cell phone is 252-3176, and my email is mortons4, M-O-R-T-O-N-S, and the number 4, at gci.net. And I really would love to hear from people about their concerns.
All right, that's 252-3176. 252-3176 is Leslie Morton's number. You can get in contact with her as we, again, head down the home stretch to Election Day on October 3rd. And Leslie, I want to thank you so much for taking some time and being with us this morning. I know you've got other things going on this evening and more forums and debates coming up. But again, thanks for making time for us.
Thank you.
And you have been tuned to the Kenai Conversation this morning here on KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna. We'll have the entirety of this conversation posted on our website, kdll.org, a little bit later in the day if you missed any portion. I'm Shaylin Cochran. Have a great morning.